Good evening, and welcome to this episode of the Full Press Coverage FBC Raiders Podcast. My host, Terrence Biggs, with my co-host. He is the pride of Morgan State, Malik Obi. Obi, what's cracking?
What's up, T? Just ready for this week to start. Started NFL season. It's finally here.
Yes, back in business.
Yeah.
Which is also one of the favorite EPMD CDs I can remember, but we're gonna get right to it. What was your initial thoughts about the final 53 on the roster?
I think that the Raiders, they wasted some money this offseason and it shows in terms of, some of the signings that they made that didn't pan out and some of the draft picks that they, whiffed on or whatever the case may have been, namely trading Lynn Bowden and, Marcus Mariota being on the IR and still having a major gap at safety position and being very young in terms of corners and wide receivers. I think it's going to be a very interesting year in terms of their, experience and trying to see what type of team they put together for the first year in Vegas with the experience level of most of the players on the team. I mean, most of the starters are very young, so it'll be interesting to see going forward, what they get out of this young group.
Now, when you look at – I'm going to take two players in general. Tanner Muse, Javon White. One was a third-round pick, one was an undrafted player. The undrafted player, apparently, according to reports, outplayed and showed out, while the third-round draft pick didn't do as well as anticipated. White is on the practice squad, and Muse is on IR. Do you think that Mayock and Gruden reached a couple of times, just initially, just first thoughts, not like long term, but gut feeling?
Definitely did. I think that there was some nobody's a surefire, but I thought that they, had some opportunities to address some, needs, and especially in the third round, and they flopped on it. And in terms of, like, even Lynn Bowden, you have a chance to get a modern-day player that can play multiple positions, do multiple things, and they let him go because they said he didn't run block or whatever the case may have been. I think it was a waste of the picks, a waste of the third-round picks. And the only, you're banking on right now is Bryan Edwards being, having to come in and be an X in his first year because you wasted money on Tyrell Williams, who hasn't been healthy. So, I definitely think that they, it's not clear yet what their direction of the team is. And, aside from getting quote-unquote players, but that's to be determined. And it's just all over the place. So it'll be, it definitely, some of the moves look questionable as of right now, and they definitely did on draft night.
Now, when I look at the Bowden one, it sticks out. The Bowden trade sticks out for a couple of reasons. One, just like you said, he was one of the most versatile players in the draft, and if you listen to him tell it, if you listen to stands or ardent supporters tell it, that John Gruden is some offensive mastermind, a wizard, if you will. If you're an offensive mastermind and wizard, how do you not find a guy who can play like four positions?
Right.
That doesn't make sense to me. Like, even if he started off as a returner, that's a good start. Third down back or slot guy, cool. Like packages, that's fine. But they really, really spent a third round pick on a guy they couldn't scheme for. And that, I don't know. When I saw the trade, I was stunned because how do you give up on a guy with that kind of talent?
Exactly. I mean, especially nowadays when you have teams that are drafting guys purely to be wildcat, RPO quarterbacks, or in the case of what you have on your own roster, you have a guy like Marcus Mariota who's shown nothing. None of your backup quarterbacks have shown anything. Your starting quarterback has barely shown anything. Why wouldn't you keep this guy as a possible third-string quarterback? I don't get it, but who knows?
I mean, for me, just like you said, they spent so much money that they have thrown away. Tyrell Williams is gone. Like, he's gone. And you could have spent that money elsewhere. He's just not coming back. And I saw a stat where they spent a bunch of third-round picks over the last few years on Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, Lynn Bowden, guys who, Bryant is the only one who played, but then he got suspended. But then you got guys who they spent so much money on receivers that never panned out, and so much draft capital. If you had to assess who, not so much the fault, but who should earn some of this criticism, do you think it should be Mayock or Gruden or a combination of both?
I definitely think it's both. I mean, every move, people just speculate who's to blame for it. But at the end of the day, you're working together. You're supposed to be putting together this amazing product for a new city. You know, this mythical coach that got a 10-year deal and continues to be question marks about everything that he's done. The production on the field hasn't been there. The moves have been questionable. So they both need to get blamed for it.
Now, I'm sure you saw the Carr quotes, because apparently with the season 10, super close, he likes to get a little chatty. He pretty much said he's going to ignore the criticism, and he's excited what they've done over the last 3 years. They're like 17-31 over the last 3 years. At what point, you're also in the media, at what point of your report, if you were in the room, just stop asking Carr questions?
I don't know. I mean, just like, everybody's in there trying to get something to write about. So, I get why people are asking just the starting quarterback questions, but I don't know. Everybody's looking to get a story and make a story out of something, so I understand it. But I don't know if I would stop asking, because most of the time in that situation, you only might get one question. So you got to take who you can and what you can get. So
that's fair. When we come back from break, I want to discuss your level of confidence in the team by position group. You are listening to the FBC Raiders podcast on the Full Press Coverage Radio Network. We are back with FPC Raiders podcast. I'm speaking with Obi. On a scale of 1 to 5, one being you have none, 5 being we're about to print these Super Bowl tickets, I'm gonna give you the position group. Quick number about your level of confidence in entering the season. Are you ready? Quarterback.
Mm-hmm. 3.
Running back.
5.
Damn. Wide receivers.
3.
Tight end.
4.
O-line.
5.
That's fair. Defensive line.
3.5.
Linebacker.
3.5.
Corners.
2.5, too young.
Safeties.
2.
Oh, wow. Is it because of those who will be alongside Jonathan Abram, or is it just like the lack of playmaking depth?
I mean, Abram played two quarters, maybe. He's got to get the kinks out. Heath is a role player, a rotation guy. Eric Harris is a rotation guy, no matter what kind of feel-good story they're trying to get out of him. They won't move Joyner to safety. They released Randall. Corners are young. I mean, Mullen is pretty decent, but Damon Arnett, I mean, everybody looks good in camp. I think that he has the tools to succeed, but cornerback is probably the toughest position on the field, in my opinion. And we're talking about a first-year guy with no preseason. Nickel, LaMarcus Joyner, he had way too much responsibility last year, and he's short. The Raiders have a short secondary overall. It's a toss-up on how it works, but I'm not going to blindly just say they're going to be Super Bowl champions when you have maybe the guy with the most experience in that entire secondary is LaMarcus Joyner and Jeff Heath, who's not going to start. So, a lot of team of young guys.
That makes sense. Now, you said that the defensive line was What about the defensive line gives you the most concern?
I mean, you have Cleveland Farrell. He's bulked up. That doesn't mean anything until we see something on the field. Mo Hurst and Malik Collins looks good on paper. Mo Hurst is taking steps, but, I mean, there's nothing on paper. There's nothing substantial that proves that leads us to believe that the Raiders defense is going to be dominant at any level. There's nothing. You know, even the improvements last year, it was really one guy, and that was Max Crosby, who was a surprise to many, but he didn't really have any type of help in terms of interior push. You know, and now teams are going to be keying in on him. They need the interior to step up. I really like Malik Collins. I like Mo Hurst, but TBD, and Cleveland Farrell, TBD. That entire line, aside from Crosby, is a question mark. Who knows what they're going to do? You know, it's just a toss-up, really. It's not. There's no guarantee that, you know, they're going to produce. Even Marinelli being there doesn't mean anything until we see something happening. So, I mean, we've watched the Raiders for years. There's not a guarantee that any signing or draft pick is going to be a sure thing for the Raiders. It's more of a surprise than anything. It's not even just about the players. It's about the scheme. You just had a team that drafted a wide receiver / quarterback, and then they wanted him to play running back, and then they wanted him to run block, and he didn't, so they cut him before they played the game. There shouldn't be any false hope. It's just, let's see what happens. The Raiders have made some pretty idiotic moves in terms of front office, in terms of coaching, to not put players in the best position to succeed. There's still a toss-up on who's going to be in charge, really, of the defense, Marinelli or Gunther. Gunther might get cut, fired halfway through the season, might get stay the whole season. He might be in control, he might not be in control. We don't know. I mean, the Raiders are not a winning team. They have no identity. There's no reason to believe anything substantial about the defense at all. The best part of the team is the offensive line. That's the most substantial part about the team.
Now, when I look at all the signings, and you mentioned we just talked about the defensive line, the Nassib signing is just so strange to me still. Like, you're paying all that money for a guy who might not start. I mean, that's a lot of cash. That is a lot of money for this dude. Not just that a lot of money, but a lot of guaranteed money where you drafted a defensive end with the 4th overall pick. The other defensive end was like a third-day pick who notched 10 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Like signing a guy to a decent, more than decent deal is strange to me. Like, who does Nassib swipe snaps from?
Farrell. I mean, you've already seen what you can get out of Max Crosby with very limited help, so. It's up to Farrell. There's no reason to believe that Farrell has a lock on his job. You know, people get excited over the littlest things. Derek Carr makes a statement and people believe him. You know, Cleveland Farrell puts on weight. I mean, you want the best for these players. You want the best for the Raiders. But just empty hopes and padless. There's no preseason. Everybody's going to be in a slump already. And then you have guys that haven't really proven themselves that can say or look the part. That's not what football is about. It's about what you actually do. So He's going to take snaps from Farrell, who has not proven himself yet and has a ways to go. So why would they put an unproven player back on the field and rely on him when they have somebody that they think will be reliable and that they've already paid a decent amount of money to?
Now, a couple of years ago, you had the foresight to predict that Nick Kwiatkowski would be a Raider. Like you said it before anyone else. You put it out there. I think it was it August of 2018?
Mm-hmm.
You had the tweet and you said, this man will be a Raider. When you look at his game now, and you look at the construct of the Gunther / Marinelli defense, what is Kwiatkowski's ceiling in Vegas?
I mean, I personally think that he's going to end up being the Mike of the defense. He's pretty solid against the run. And having a guy like Corey Littleton take some of the pressure off him to be the main guy chasing around tight ends, chasing guys up the seam, playing, you know, zone coverage. He's going to be able to read and react and make plays coming down, and he can hold his own pretty decent in terms of zone coverage and man coverage. Decent, not great, but decent enough. But he can be a solid starting middle linebacker in this league. I don't think that he's going to be a pro, you know, all pro or anything, but he's going to be solid. And the Raiders have had very few solid inside linebackers in the last 20 years. So it would definitely be a plus to have him produce. You know, he produced with, you know, on limited snaps in Chicago, and they're hoping to get that. And I think that if he's a middle linebacker and not given an abundance of responsibility outside of, you know, doing what he's supposed to do, you know, he'll be okay. But, you know, he's been named the captain, so we'll see how that goes. But I think that he's going to be a solid starter.
When we come back from break, I want to get into a preview of Sunday's game and give your thoughts about predictions for the season. You're listening to the FBC Raiders podcast on the Full Press Coverage Radio Network. We are back with the FPC Raiders podcast. Terrence Biggs, Nick Obi. Obi, when the Raiders go down to Carolina and they face a Panthers team that is in the midst of a massive rebuild, I want to focus on the offense first. Now, Carolina tends to, well, under Matt Rhule, apparently, they're going to use a 3 wide receiver set and not really emphasize the tight end, which Christian McCaffrey will probably try to win going back side when the receivers are split out on the strong side. When you look at McCaffrey's game now, do you think that somebody like Raekwon McMillan will be up to the task of being able to control number 22?
No, I don't think that there's a linebacker on the Raiders that's going to be able to chase him and follow him around. That's not Raekwon McMillan's specialty in terms of like chasing him out of the backfield. He can come down and play the run, but you know he's going to be running angles and all type and bubbles and everything and. Or he might line up in a slot. He can do a lot, and that's not what I'm asking Raekwon McMillan to do. So, I mean, the best shot would be, like I said, Corey Littleton as a weak side linebacker. But McMillan, no.
It's interesting because this game features for Carolina two receivers that you have been high on for the longest time. DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson. Now, DJ Moore is a guy, I think, out of Maryland that mm-hmm. you had, you know, you dissected his game. What does he do, or what have you seen that jumps out to you?
He's a very good route runner. He's very polished on his routes already, so he's going to have, you know, most likely he's going to have a matchup with Damon Arnett, and Arnett is going to, it's going to be a good first test for him as Moore is getting in, you know, hitting his stride and really, you know, trying to establish himself as a top 15 receiver in this league, which he can be this year. He's just very crisp on his routes, you know, and his patience with his releases has improved since his time in Maryland gradually. So it's going to be a good test for Arnett, you know, trying to keep up with him and, you know, stay in front of him, stay on top of him. So that, you know, it's his route running is the big deal for me.
And when you look at a Robbie Anderson, you know, he's an angular, taller wideout. He's in an offense with a quarterback that doesn't like, well, essentially doesn't like, doesn't really favor vertical shots too often, but with Anderson, the presence is there. And you look at a guy like Curtis Samuel, apparently, according to folks at the Charlotte Observer and various reports, he has struggled in camp under Matt Rhule, but the talent is undeniable. He's one of those guys that you can line up in the backfield, you can split out, you can do so many things. Where, to me, where the Raiders should feast, that offensive line and spots is quite thin and should... This is one of those games that, you look at a Cleveland Farrell. This is when you need to, not so much pad stats, but you need to have stats.
Mm-hmm.
Now, defensively, that the front four, that is the pretty much the heart and soul of that entire team. Now, you got Burns, Short, Derek Brown, Stephen Weatherly. Let's ignore Stephen Weatherly for a minute. Like much of the league has. But Burns is one of those guys that if he lines across from Colton Miller, I mean, what can Colton Miller do to slow Burns down?
I mean, that's going to be the test of his progression. I mean, it's not going to get any easier for him. If he's not able to deal with a solid second-year guy, you know, the division is stacked with some of the best pass rushers in the league. You got four top 15 pass rushers in the league in the AFC West. There's really no excuse. I mean, if he's going to continue to progress, then he has to be able to contain and move his feet with a guy like Burns, who's a lankier guy, but is very sound technically. I mean, it's not going to get much easier for him. So, I mean, this is the guy that they've, you know, put their trust in as their franchise left tackle. You know, and he has to just step up. He has to move his feet and try his best to stay in front of him.
Various depth charts have former Raider Tahir Whitehead as a starting middle linebacker. That actually, if you are a fan of the Raiders, that should bring you comfort because you know you've seen this man in coverage. You've seen his issues in coverage. They also have 10-minute Raider Eli Apple as one of their starting cornerbacks. It's not so much the back seven that concerns me. It's the front four. If the blocking is there, this game, in my opinion, shouldn't be close because of the lack of defense on Carolina. But I'm going to ask you, what is your prediction for this game? Who wins this and why?
I think the Raiders win the game, maybe, I'd say, 23-17, more so based on the fact that they have a solid run game and, you know, they're going to rely on Josh Jacobs to pretty much control the pace of the game and Darren Waller to you know, really capitalize on short and intermediate throws. In terms of the rest of the guys, and in terms of Edwards and Ruggs, I don't think that the Raiders are going to ask Derek Carr to go balls against the wall and throw them to victory, especially with guys that young and inexperienced. But He's going to rely more on the veterans and Waller and now Renfro for short and intermediate, you know, throws to get down the field and try to control the clock. In terms of defense, the Raiders' defense is very young, but Teddy Bridgewater is it's going to be more so on who can control the clock the best, because Teddy Bridgewater is not going to try to outthrow Derek Carr to win this game. It's going to be about clock control and everything short and immediate. Robbie Anderson showed that he can, you know, he's improved on the route tree, especially in everything, you know, in short and intermediate routes last year. So, you know, he's going to be their wide receiver one. He's going to have to step up. But, I mean, I just think that the Raiders have the best chance to win this game. And if they don't, then it says something. It'll say a lot about, exposing what's wrong with the offense or the defense early. But I think the Raiders will win a close game. That really shouldn't be close, but they'll win it.
It's funny to piggyback off that thought. I think that on paper, this is a game that the Raiders should win handily. By the start of the second half, this game should be over. But there's always that nagging, that seed of doubt that with the Raiders, I can't think of too many games in the last 4 or 5 years where they have won it going away. It's few. But there's something about that Carolina secondary that is bad. It is bad. But there's also something about a linebacker that just doesn't sit right. I honestly think that 27-14 Las Vegas should probably be it. Like, it'll be a lot tighter than it should be, but it won't be like a razor thin victory. It'll be comfortable. Now, if folks want to contact you on Twitter and also on the new and improved YouTube channel, which if y'all want to check out good videos, like, set the good music, the graphics are right there. It is a multimedia extravaganza. Where can people find your content all over social media?
You can find me on Twitter at NFL Malik, M-A-L-I-I-K. And my YouTube channel is Malik Obese Football for Fanatics. Really, right now, I've been posting some of my top 10 lists for players at various positions. And then once the season starts, I'm going to start breaking down plays, chalkboard style, and, you know, getting really dissecting a lot and, you know, kind of breaking the game down for everyone to understand and just going from there.
He is the DOC of FPC, my man Malik Obi. Obi, I can't wait to look at the videos, because, you know, I learn a lot. It's informative and it's always good, solid opinions. It's not just players that you may like more than the others as far as based on, oh, this guy is cool. It's more of its substance and content, and it works. You can find us at FBC_Raiders on Twitter. You can find all our content on fullpresscoverage.com/Raiders. From Lee Obi, Terrence Biggs, this has been another episode of FPC Raiders. Be good to yourselves and be good to each other. Good night.
Good night, people.